Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. You got your constant co-host, Chris Kellum, and
Tyler, y'all.
This week, we bring on an amazing duo who's been tearing up the south side of downtown, I guess. Is it south side yet?
Sounds north good. Side? Sounds good. We'll take it.
We'll go for it. We'll call it south
side. Let's just say Wilmington as a whole.
Yeah. Right. You really have been. Introduce yourselves.
My name is Matt Ray.
I'm Abby McGee.
And you might know Matt, he was on an episode, almost 2 years ago now.
Really?
This year?
Definitely not 2 years. Maybe a year.
It was summer?
Maybe a year and a half.
It was a year and a half.
You might have made me feel real old if you're saying that's 2 years.
Yeah, it was like right after the Starling Open.
Which was only a year and a half ago. Well,
see?
Year and a half. Yeah. It's coming up on 2 years.
Sometime in the recent history.
Yes, within the past 100 episodes you've been on.
I'm not going to argue with you, Chris. You're one of our best customers. So.
That is a true fact. So Matt and Abby are the co-owners of a couple bars, some of my favorite haunts in town, which are
the Starling and
the soon to open Ibis.
I always say it wrong, so I was going to let you do that.
You played that well.
Yes. I say Ibis sometimes, and I'm like, yeah, that's wrong. Yeah,
we've heard Ibis. It seems pretty obvious to us. It's the bird. Say, it's another Ibis.
Yeah.
If we're opening a bar, it's probably a bird name.
So before we get deep diving into why you decided to open bars and make some great food, we're drinking something from Matt's selection.
Yep, this is from Barrel Whiskey. It's a private release selected by Sealbox, which is a online bourbon retailer. It's 131.96 proof, so perfect for a light day drink.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, she bangs.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was good, though. Yeah. It's always weird when you have something really high proof, but then there's so much flavor to it.
Yeah, why are you chugging yours, Chris?
I would never. I did that on the last one.
I was going to say, Chris just takes shots of his whiskey over here.
Oh my gosh.
I don't.
I'd be in the floor.
No, I'm a good one.
Comparatively speaking, you do.
Well, true. Tyler drinks real slow.
Yeah. Someone has to have control of this thing.
So, tell us a little about yourself. We've heard a little bit about Matt. Tell us something about you, Abby.
Matt really wants to jump in right now.
No, I just want to hear what she says. Tell us, Abby. I'd love to know more about you.
Well, I'm a mom. I have two kids who are awesome. I'm a wife. I love dogs. I love to build businesses, which is a relatively new thing for me. I started my first business about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And we're going into our third business in 3 years.
So Salt and Charm was your first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yep.
How'd you end up in the Salt and Charm?
It started as a food blog.
Oh, okay.
Back when I was newly divorced and wanted to get out of my profession that I was in at that point.
The original name was The Nosh Room.
It was The Nosh Room was the first name of the blog. Matt was not a very good food photographer at that point.
How dare you?
But I was his first food photography client.
I cut my teeth on Salt and Charm.
Yeah.
Nice. Or Nosh Room.
Yeah, he won't let me post any of those pictures. He hates them. So
I untag myself when she did.
And then you call me and tell me to take it down.
And then I tag another photographer in town.
But that started out as I was looking for ways to have people in my house because I was going through midlife crisis, trying to find myself again. So I started feeding people in my house and posting recipes to a blog. And then I went into restaurant work. I ran some bakeries for people, ran some catering departments for restaurants in town. And really hated that. I'm not good working for other people. Just not.
Yeah.
I hate it. I don't work well with other people telling me what to do. So
that's true.
I somehow found myself as a private chef for a family in town, and they started referring me out. And at that time I was running the bakery for a grocery store, and that started everything. Within a month, I had a full slate of clients and started adding chefs, take on more clients, started feeding everybody in the whole world until I left my job at the grocery store and started doing that full time. And that was about 4 years ago total. And then we opened the brick and mortar about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And then about a year after that, the lot right next to the kitchen, which was just a parking lot, became available and they were going to start developing it. And I called him. I had pulled in the parking lot and I called Matt and said, "Hey, do you want to open a bar?" And he said, "Sure, let's do it. And 6 months later, I think the bar was open. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
So yeah. Why a bar?
I don't know. I think it was going to work really well with the kitchen, you know, with it being right there next to it. And it just sounded like something fun to do. We had kind of talked about going into business together, doing something. We just never landed on anything until I was like, "Hey, let's open something over here. Let's do a bar." That would work really well with the food. And we decided to create something that we would want to hang out in. And that's what Starling was. And
so. I think we both have always had a love for community, people coming together. And, you know, food, you know, the food nights at her house were pretty epic. A lot of good stories came out of that. Right. And, you know, it's always been that's one common bond we've had is the, you know, bringing community together and people and good conversations and, you know, good drinks.
Yeah. And I love creating space for other people to do what they're really good at. Mm-hmm. And I had some staff at the kitchen that, you know, Aunty, who was already doing wine, you know, doing wine pairings for our private dinner parties. And I just saw something in her that was really great. And that kind of sparked in me, like, how can we build something? And we've known Kaylee for a million years. She did some pop-ups with us bartending. And we thought of her immediately when we were like tossing around the idea. So before we decided for sure, I called her. No, I texted her and I was like, "Hey, do you want to move to Wilmington and run a bar for us?" And she, like, within 5 seconds, she called me and she was like, "I was just telling somebody I wish somebody would offer me a job running a bar." So, yes, I will come.
You're being kind not to say the rest of that story.
What was the rest of the story?
The fact that she had texted me ahead of time and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a job."
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
If you find something in Wilmington, because I have, you know, restaurant connections or whatever.
And I didn't know that.
And so the funny thing is, it did not enter my mind at that point to say you could be our bar manager. Of course, that would have been amazing.
Right.
But instead, I started thinking about, you know, what restaurants need a bar manager. And I was like, you know, there's another very popular restaurant in town. I guess I won't name them, but
right.
I referred her to them. And then Abby called and I was like, oh, wait, yeah, we're opening a bar. Never mind. You should work with us.
She was like, "Well, I just interviewed with a restaurant in town that Matt sent me to. So it's funny that you called me." But it's been really fun to create that space for Kaylee to spread her wings and do what she does so well. And the same with Aunty and Bex and everybody that contributes to the atmosphere of that bar. I love it. And Matt and I we get to enjoy it, just watching them do what they do and create a safe space for them to do it and a space where they feel
appreciated
and, you know, do what you do best. And we're just going to enjoy watching you do that. It's been fun.
We'll stay in our lane. You stay in yours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do what you do. Good. Mm-hmm.
So. I love that. I was, like Matt might have mentioned earlier, I am a very avid patron of the Starling and will probably be one at the Ibis also. Mm-hmm. But it's great from an outside point of view, seeing that the growth that the bar has had. And it's just nice to see like a small, like, community spot that doesn't feel like a dive bar, which I applaud you for.
Thank you.
The bars closer to my house are more dive-ish. Mm-hmm. And I like being able to be like, let's go have a good drink somewhere with good whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, bars in town are either like dive bars or they're beer bars or they're really high end, but they feel almost stuffy, you know, like you got to dress up to go. We wanted to kind of marry the dive bar and the high-end bar. So you can come in your flannel pajama pants if you want and have a really nice cocktail and feel okay about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, because we're not fancy people. We just like to hang out with people and have good drinks.
Yes. And you can tell that too, like the, even with the whole staff that's there as well, that they love the community part of it. Mm-hmm. So like people will show up that are regulars like Chris and I, and then there's other people I've been in for the very first time, and you have everyone talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that's all the people behind the bar are able to connect those conversations and everything too. And there's not many places out there or many people that are able to do something like that. And so that's been something that's really cool over there too. It's just, you're not just there having conversations with the bartender or just with the person you came to you came there with, but everyone starts getting involved in conversations there. Or at least every time I go anyway, it seems like that.
So well, it's so tiny. You feel like you're in somebody's like little kitchen, you know, it's so small. And that's also, that's a, both a blessing and a curse. Like it's, it's hard to have a really tiny bar, but it's also really awesome. Mm-hmm. We are all constantly amazed at how much comes out of that tiny little bar. How many drinks have been made in that little itty bitty space? It's kind of a miracle. I don't know how they do it.
And, you know, a cool thing about our employees too is that Bex, you know, Bex is a marvel to me in that she knows everyone's name.
Oh, yeah.
And everything they've either ordered then or has ordered in the past. Like she can sit there and rattle it off. It's kind of a fun little.
I don't even remember what I ordered game. Last time I was in myself. And
no. She'll tell you what you're wearing. She'll tell you your name. Even if she saw your name on the credit card and she just knows you know, who that person is. So
bless her young mind that still remembers things.
There's stories that I've told her that I forgot that I've even said to anyone. Oh, yeah. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, how's this going? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we did talk about that, didn't we? I was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So talking about the Starling, what makes Ibis, the new bar, different than the Starling?
It's indoors. You can come when it's raining, guys, and when it's cold.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. You know, I think it still feels a lot like us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to feel similar to the Starling, but it's also very different. It's a real cozy, moody vibe in there. It definitely feels high-end in there, but it's going to also feel like you're in our living room. So in that respect, it feels a lot like...
There's a picture we haven't shared yet, if you want to see.
It feels a lot like the Starling. And of course we...
Such a vibe.
Oh, I haven't even seen that picture.
Here's our bar, Abby.
Yeah. What's it look like in there?
It's a pretty bar. You know, this one is open from 7 a.m. until midnight, and it's coffee service. We really wanted to utilize the space from morning to night.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to figure out why the hell we did that to ourselves, because now we have to manage something that's open 7 a.m. to midnight every day. But yes,
because of how much we're paying in rent. It's nice to know there's money coming in from 7 until midnight. That's why we did it to ourselves.
Sure.
So it'll be a high-end coffee bar from 7 to 4 and then switch over to bar at night. Plus the whole hi-fi aspect is so cool.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
I know there's some people out there that don't know what hi-fi is, especially in this area. Can you describe what hi-fi is?
Abby?
No,
you're the music person. Abby was once a worship
pastor. Oh, my God. This is not an Abby history lesson.
I knew that was coming.
I was waiting for it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was a musician and a singer in my first life. Happened to be at a church.
It's funny because when people ask us about the hi-fi part, I mean, obviously I can tell you it's high fidelity.
Yeah.
It's quality sound. But I'm very careful to stay in my lane with what I know to talk about. If Matt Keen from Gravity Records was here, we'd say, hey, speak to the sound.
Yes.
You know, Macintosh speakers, you know, tube amps. Incredible stuff that he's bringing out. But the moment he starts talking, I'm like, oh, that's not my lane.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know
this. Stay in mine. I just know that we have brought in the best of the best in town. To be in charge of that.
Yeah.
He's and, one you know, it. And the whole, you know, concept behind the bar is an old post-war Japanese concept. It was these little tea rooms called kisas. Mm-hmm. And there were these like hi-fi lounges where people, if they couldn't afford to buy the album, they would go there, have a cup of tea, and listen to this album from beginning to end on, you know, high quality speakers. And so it's the idea of, you know, being able to sit and kind of shut out the world for a little bit and just be and enjoy yourself and listen to good music. So
yeah, it's definitely not a like a nightclub type feel. It's going to be where you can still talk to the person across the table from you without shouting. We want it to be great sound, but you still be able to interact with the people that you're around and really hear the music instead of the music just coming at you. So
even the, like the paintings on the wall, I don't know if you saw our last post.
Yes.
The paintings on the wall are very intentional as well because we've padded the back of those canvases with eggshell foam.
Oh, wow.
For acoustic sake, you know, so kind of a double purpose. So.
Yeah. I think that's just a cool vibe in general. It's because most people are used to like, hey, you know, I'm going to get a drink and you're sitting at a bar and that music is, it's just loud and it doesn't always make sense. But I think the vibe that you guys are putting out with the new bar is going to be like a whole aesthetic. Yep. Just sitting down, just listening to good records, good music in good quality versus like just big loudspeakers.
Yeah. And there's a few of them out in California and New York and some bigger cities. So I think one thing Abby and I want to do growing up here in town is bring something that Wilmington hasn't seen yet, you know, something new because we love this city. And that was kind of the idea with the Starling as well. I mean, you, at that time, you could see, you know, Cargo District concepts in like Austin, Texas, and these cool areas that were up and coming. So I wanted something different, something new.
Yeah. Wilmington definitely doesn't need any new bars. We have a lot of them. So it was important to do something that was so different than what we have that it made sense to add to the bar scene. And having the coffee service during the day and the food aspect is I mean, there I've never been in a coffee shop like it where it just feels that comfortable but yet really well thought out.
And you don't have to drink to come there. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a coffee. We're gonna have an incredible NA selection,
right?
You know, if you want to come there and be able to listen to good music, and you know, there's something to drink that doesn't have to be alcohol.
Yeah. Is there a type of music that you plan on focusing on there?
No, they'll do different themes. We'll do like full record release, you know, listening parties, and they'll do theme nights. Like we'll do disco nights every now and then. We're gonna do jazz brunch. On Sundays. So Rizzy will be our resident DJ who'll be there most of the time and he'll kind of curate those lists, but it'll be theme based. So it's not like all over the place. You'll kind of know what you're coming to listen to that night, but it'll be just really great music that needs to be listened to.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, for sure.
Eventually there will be a disco ball hanging from the center as well.
Yeah.
Nice. Bring it all together.
Let's fit as 1.5.
I was thinking about this when the girls at the bar were telling me about the concept when this is coming about. And I was like, to me, it's ahead of its time because Wilmington is always like a little slow to catch up to things. And getting this bar, having the ability to sit there and listen to like vinyl, to me is very like what the world needs. Cause I was looking at something the other day and they're like, oh yeah, you know, all of these services are slowly getting rid of like TVs and movies that you used to be able to watch cause you're all paying for streaming services, but you can't watch them if they're not posted somewhere. So having the physical option, one, is better cause I think it sounds better. And two, you have it all the time. And I think your bar being able to like listen to going back and, oh, this is one of the original presses is going to be super cool.
I think a lot of society is getting to a place where they're slowing down. You know what I mean? We just went so fast, so far, so fast, so quick.
Yeah.
You know, that it's, I think people want a place where they can come and slow down and not have to think about everything that's happening in the world and, you know, and all the chaos. And even the idea of the ibis bird is, you know, it represents perseverance. So the ibis is the last to leave when a hurricane's coming and the first to return back after it's
gone. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You know,
that's neat.
And so in the middle of hardship, it's the one that perseveres the most, you know, so.
I think that's really cool too. Cause when you think of coffee shops in general, most people tend to think of like a warmer place to kind of like go and hang out a little bit. And you saw that originally with what Starbucks did. Mm-hmm. So Starbucks originally started out and wanted a place to come and hang out and for people to come and gather. And that yeah. Like fast, and yeah. now they're trying to like, how uncomfortable can we make these tables yeah. so that you're in and out and you're leaving? Yeah. And those are actual boardroom conversations oh, that yeah. they're having.
Take
and
the plugs off the walls.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And then they even went as far as there's some towns that they completely took out the seating. So you can only walk in and walk out, and they only want to do a turn and burn. And I was like, yeah. how horrible is that? That the yeah. one place that you wanted to create for community, you're now absolutely destroying on purpose
yeah.
to just put volume through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a drive-through coffee shop yeah. now.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it's really cool that you guys are saying, hey, no, this is what we're here to do. We're going to make our mark in the sands that you can come here, you can come and hang out and slow down for a little bit.
Yeah. Now, we do encourage you to continue buying drinks if you're camping out for a long time.
Yeah. right. Yeah, right. We still want the volume.
I
want
to make that about the same person. Because yeah. there's other people that want to come in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So question, well, two actually. First one, why the birds? You didn't want to go with bees?
Knew you were going.
I don't know. I think we both love bird imagery. When we were coming up with a name for the starling, I don't remember the origin of that conversation, but
I can tell you.
Okay.
Real deep. It was real deep. Abby said, I like birds and logos. I said, cool. Let's do a bird.
That sounds about right. Mm-hmm.
When we at the beginning thought about the sparrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But didn't love it. And then we said the starling. And the next day, my daughter was bird watching outside of our window. I didn't even mention the name to her. She was 10 at the time. And she had no idea we were going to call it that or whatever. But she looked out the window and she just yells out of nowhere. She saw a starling come up to the bird feeder. And she goes, I hate starlings. Starlings are the worst. They're so greedy. And I'm like, Abby, are we sure about the starling?
Well, and then we found out that starlings, when we were researching like which bird we might pick to be the name, starlings will eat fermented fruit that's fallen off trees and make themselves drunk. They do it on purpose. And I thought it was funny. So that kind of was the deciding factor. Let's do this one.
Yeah, let's encourage drunkenness.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
Those greedy drunks over there.
Shane the other day said we should call it the greedy starling.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. That'd be funny.
Oh, that's funny.
It wouldn't fit as well on the side of the building, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the conversation between starting the starling and starting the Ibis? Was someone just crazy enough to like, hey, you know what? This wasn't enough work at all. We need to do something.
That's totally me. I take the blame for that. I think the
first conversation was me hanging up on you.
I finish a project and, you know, once it's done and we see that it's working well, mm-hmm. I get antsy to do something. I'm definitely a creative at heart, and I always need a new thing to think about and create. And so once we got Starling up and running, I think it was before our first anniversary. I was like, let's open another bar. So we started looking at spots, and I really had to talk him into it. He was like, he was on board, and then he was scared, and then he was like, I think it's cool, but maybe we shouldn't. And anyway, we finally agreed to do it. And
I'm less of a risk taker than Abby is. Yeah. But
like, let's do it. I did tell him recently, though, when in the middle of this project that has been the biggest project that we've ever done, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing I've ever done. And I said to him on a day of frustration, I was like, I called him. I said, listen, once we get this open, if I even hint to you to do anything else, you tell me to just fuck right off.
Yeah.
And I
can say that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Y'all can bleep me. But
it's a whiskey podcast. You're fine.
Did I mention she was a worship? I'm just kidding. Sorry.
I think I was really overwhelmed that day. And I was like, please just shut me down if I ever, but I've already, like, I already have things that.
But also 10 minutes after that conversation,
you had called him.
You called me again.
I did.
And said, so hear me out. She had another idea.
You're a serial
which we didn't do.
We haven't done yet.
But no, I would really like to calm down a little bit after this and just enjoy that we have. I have three businesses. Matt will have three. I'm also opening another kitchen in the spring that's already in process. So after that, I do want to chill out. I want to spend more time with my family and just sit on a beach. I haven't been to the beach in like years.
Oh yeah, we have a beach here, don't we?
We do. We live at the beach that I never go to. So that's the plan, is just to get this up and running and hopefully just turn my brain off for a little bit.
Smart. So is your second kitchen, is that in a church?
It is in an old church, yes. That turned into a restaurant that's now being turned into a high-end event space. Nice. And we're going to take over the kitchen.
So you have a thing with churches and bars?
Mm-hmm.
Full circle.
Mm-hmm. But, I love where this conversation is.
But real talk, how did you end up coffee? So like you guys are doing the coffee. Where are you getting it? How'd you get the flavors? Like how do you choose all this stuff? Because I don't typically drink coffee, but it smells delicious. So I've always been curious.
Well, Matt's obsessed with coffee, so.
I am.
That's his very wheelhouse. Obsessed with it.
Is it safe to say, though, that you weren't interested in bourbon before the Starling as well?
I had drank a little bit before I showed up at the bar.
Our goal is to get you interested in coffee next.
Before the podcast, he was like, Crown and Coke, let's go. And yeah, so we've expanded their horizons there. And then very shortly after, Starling opened. And then it was like the floodgates opened for him.
Nice. Yeah.
I drink whiskey ginger. That was about it.
So the coffee is, we're going to be proudly serving Casablanca, mm-hmm. which I think is some of the best coffee in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Marissa Casablanca is, I think, probably one of the most knowledgeable coffee people around here. I've known her for years. And she's just always, anytime I travel somewhere for a job, I often will text her, hey, I'm in Detroit. Where do I go to coffee? She'll immediately name the coffee shop or three or five that I should recommend. And anywhere I'm at, I'll just text her that. So she's incredibly knowledgeable, just a great businesswoman. And yeah, so I just asked her if we could, you know, contract our coffee through her and have our own branding on the bags.
Right.
So, thanks to Lauren at Aretta Graphics, who does all of our branding for us.
She did our logo too.
Yeah.
Or she painted it, but yeah.
It's hard to find a mural in town that she didn't do. So.
Right.
But yeah, so we had coffee tastings. We went in there and, you know, cupped through a couple of coffees. And we wanted it to be something that Casablanca roasted, but a bean that they don't have there necessarily. So
okay.
We'll have different, you know, origins flavor. Of coffee that they don't have there. Not flavor. I don't want to say it. You'll never see flavored coffee. you'll see different origins for sure.
It's very neat.
But
I'm weird. When I think of coffee, I'm like, oh, it's this flavor. You're like, no, it just has different origins. It has different.
You get different notes.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Abby's nephew, Adam, is going to be our coffee manager.
Okay.
And he spent the past, what, 4 or 5 months?
Oh, probably closer to 6 or 7.
6 or 7 months. Mm-hmm. Marissa brought him in under her wing over there. Just taught him from the ground up everything. So. Couldn't have better knowledge than that. So,
any trips out to Guatemala or anything like that to go and source the coffee beans? I
mean, I'm all about writing that off.
Right?
Just, not this year.
We need to do a photo shoot of us walking through those fields.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With our hands on the beans, so it looks like, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Like you're picking.
So we're hand picking the beans.
Yep.
Yes. But now we've told everyone.
This bean was hand picked by you.
So I'm waiting because I love, since working with you guys, and by working, I mean buying alcohol from your bars, I'm ready for your next like barrel pick adventure.
Oh,
you got anything?
Before he does that, I get to take the wine people on a wine trip.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm also a wine person, so you're going to need me on that trip.
Uh-huh. You need a photographer.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to, you got to document that.
Uh-huh. I think you should. That's a total. I wouldn't say write-off, but it's...
Oh, it's definitely a write-off.
What is that?
It's 100% uh-huh. write-off.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's a write-off. Uh-huh. And marketing-ish. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why do you think we'll do it for you, Chris?
Which is why I need to stop opening businesses so I have a minute to go on a trip.
Yes.
There is that.
With the staff.
Didn't you go to Europe last summer?
Yeah.
Twice?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you go twice?
I went 3 times.
Oh.
Okay.
But I had not traveled. I had not... But that was with my kids. I went to take my kids on trips.
So you didn't get to write that off?
I didn't.
If you had wine while you were there, couldn't you have?
I did write some of it off. I did.
That's a write off.
For sure. Couldn't write the whole thing off, but I did the wine tastings. And I took my kids on wine tastings. My daughter, you know, because she's old enough to drink in Europe, she had her first sip of wine. She had her first sip of wine in the oldest wine cellar in Paris.
Oh, wow.
Which was quite a treat.
What a memory.
I know.
Yeah.
She loved it. That's amazing. So, yeah. I did travel 3 times, but that was the first time I had traveled in years, yeah. And I probably won't for a good bit. I got it all done.
It was bad timing because she was gone during our anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a sore subject.
Still bitter about it.
I asked them to delay the birthday party by 1 weekend, and they wouldn't do it. I was like, listen, I'm half owner of this bar. What if I just put my foot down and say, no, you're going?
They would have put our foot down and said, we're doing it.
Yeah, they didn't. They did it without me.
I'm excited for the second anniversary. Mm-hmm. I've already put in at work. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to be here for 3 days.
That's amazing.
It's like I need the day before so I can hydrate and eat. The day after, yeah, I'm not going to pay attention.
It looks like the Ibis anniversary is going to land in before Christmas, so you'll need to start taking that off too. Mm-hmm.
That I can't do in my current position because I'm in retail.
Mm-hmm. So quit your job.
Okay. And you can be the Monday bartender.
Monday night bartender. Yes.
What's the issue here, Chris?
Serving yourself.
Yes. If you guys want to start sponsoring the podcast, you know, we're totally down with that too. But thinking about drinks and food and all the fun stuff, what is your favorite new thing at the Ibis?
Oh, the martini menu, which I've never been a martini drinker, but I'm going to become one, I think. They've got a really great martini menu lined up with like fun caviar bumps to come with it and fun little snacks that'll come with it too. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's neat.
That's not something that we have on the Starling menu.
I don't think you have the space for all that.
No, we don't.
People ask for them all the time. We're like, sorry, you can't put that here. But there's a full martini menu at Ibis. So I think that'll be my go-to for a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think our bartenders are thrilled at the idea of having just more variety and things they can work with because of how big the bar is at Ibis.
I know when I talk to Kaylee about it, she's super excited to have the full breadth of creativity, I guess you could say. So I'm interested to try some like the martinis too because I've never really been a martini drinker, but I also haven't been a lot of different type of drinkers that Kaylee's made over there, and she's turned me on to like different rums and wines even over there too.
I mean, and honestly, I'm super excited about unleashing our bartenders because their skill level is way beyond just whiskey and wine. So, you know, the Starling is a whiskey and wine bar. The Ibis is just the Ibis and, you know, the world is their oyster. Yeah, so
they can do anything.
Yeah,
there's tiki. There's a tiki menu. There's martinis. There's all kinds of weird.
A lot of different Amaros.
They're doing some weird chemistry stuff behind the scenes. I don't know what they do.
They're getting crazy.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Full lab coats and everything.
Right. Is there going to be any marriage of the coffee and liquor together?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything exciting that you're excited about that's coming up when it comes to the combination?
Just combining them.
Not all of it.
we're going to have probably maybe a night a week or so where we open up the coffee bar at night as well.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we're going to have espresso martinis on tap. Kaylee's kind of known for her espresso martinis. So we're probably going to have those on tap plus another barrel cocktail that will be on tap.
So any liqueurs going into coffees during the day?
Oh, I mean, that's
not during the day probably, but we'll have to see. But definitely at the night coffee service, there'll be a fun night coffee menu.
Is that something you want, Tyler? Is that what you're asking?
There's a bar outside of our thing that just started doing it. That's why I was asking.
I mean,
I also tried, I didn't know this existed until like 2 days ago, but there is a Buffalo Trace cream.
Oh, yeah.
That's super good. Yep. I was very impressed by that. So I was like, oh, maybe that might be something that shows up. I don't know.
We probably will, because we're going to do a Sunday brunch. And so we'll probably add some of that in there and then definitely at the night coffee service. But I don't know if we're going to be doing that for people at 8 a.m.
That might be a little early.
Are you legally allowed to sell liquor that early?
No, not on Sundays. Not on Sundays, but I think any other time you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's 7. Because you can't sell alcohol from 2 to 7.
We're not saying no to it for sure. I mean, we talked about like during the transition time.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't saying like at 8 o'clock in the morning, but maybe
somewhere
like
between 3 and 5 where you're like, you know, okay, I'm ready to shut down. And, you know, are people sitting there on their laptops? You know, we wanted to be a space for people to come in and have their coffee and sit and work for a while.
Right.
We have incredible Wi-Fi, lots of plugs, not like Starbucks. You know? Right. The seats are comfortable. And so, yeah, maybe around 3 o'clock, you're shutting down. You want to put some Baileys in your coffee. We're not going to judge you for that. We'll charge you for it. We're not going to judge you.
Right.
So question. Yeah, I always say it this way. I apologize. How is the seating going to work? Can I just roll up? pick up?
There will be, like, bar seating is just, if there's a spot, you can take a seat. I think the only space that you can't just come in and sit down are on the couches. Those are going to be at night. Well, on the busy nights, they're going to be reserved for larger parties.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think it's just if you come in and there's a seat, you can take it. And then we'll have a, you know, a little bit of a waiting area outside. There'll be some little tables outside that you can grab a drink and sit and wait for a table. So, yeah, it'll be a little bit of both. We are implementing a system that you can go onto the I don't know if it's going to be through the website or wherever, but that you can, like, put your name on the wait list on your way there on busy nights. So you're kind of, you get a little bit of a head start. Nice. Otherwise, it's just if there are seats, you can take it.
Especially during coffee time. I mean, it's obviously anyone's.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I asked that because I have a special seat that I like to sit at the bar. So I'm like, can I just put my name on the spot? You need
to call ahead and say, I'm coming. Please kick the person out of my seat. I'm the same way. Like, I'm a creature of habit. Give me my my spot.
Give me my corner seat so I can watch everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And judge them.
Yes. And then laugh when they're like, hey, can I just get a Cosmo? It's like, there's so many other drinks on this menu.
Can I mix that vintage bourbon with Coke, please?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. I'm curious to see where you pick at the Ibis, like where you gravitate towards.
Me too. That bar is so long. I was like, ooh, that'll be fun. I mean, at the Starling, my wife hates it, but I either sit like right in the corner. Mm-hmm. So as people are walking by, because I'm like, hey, there's a breeze. Mm-hmm. Or I'll sit like under the air conditioning unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because.
So are you consistently a bar? Like, you sit at the bar, you don't sit at one of the club chairs or the couch, you're going to be at the bar.
Yes.
I'm the same.
That's how I am too. Yeah. I have to be at the bar.
I'd much rather be at the bar.
Yeah.
Well, you can, y'all are social people. So like, you want to interact with the bartenders.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I'm a creature of questions. Mm-hmm. So like, I'll sit there and I'm like, oh, what was that? How'd you make it? They'll pull something down. And I'm like, oh, like, where's this from? And I like to learn these things. And unless I'm with a group of people, yeah, I'm not going to sit off by myself.
It's also more acceptable to like eavesdrop on conversations and involve yourself in conversations with other people at the bar too. If you're like sitting next to another couch and people are talking to the couch, you can't just be like, oh yeah, hey, I watched that game the other day too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
Right, yeah. Yes. At the bar, it's kind of like a conversation for the bar. Like, you expect other people to kind of chime in.
So if you open another bar in the future... Let me know if I can buy a little plaque so I can get candidate seating.
Abby, don't listen to this.
No more bars.
You got at least a 2-year gap. You got to get your kid started in college and get the other jobs like running.
Chris, you got to slow down, bro.
That's why I said at least 2 years.
Well, we're right at about 2 years after Starling's been open when we're opening Ibis, so.
My wife is not going to be okay with that.
But if I were to ever say to him, hey, I understand that y'all don't want to do it, but I'm going to go over here and start this bar, he'd be like, wait a second. That's true. Absolutely not.
This is true.
I think that's how I convinced him to do the Ibis. He was showing some hesitation. I was like, well, I'll just do it then. He was like, absolutely not.
Okay, I'm in now.
I'm in.
That'd be the worst FOMO ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If I was on the outside looking at the Ibis right now and thinking that I wasn't a part of it, I'd be so mad.
Oh, yeah. I could understand that.
I would not have done it without you, so. I was just bluffing.
It worked.
I will be there every Monday night.
Can we get that in writing?
Bartending.
Bartending?
Yeah.
When the bar's not open on Monday. Oh,
right. Yeah. Did I miss?
No.
You are quitting your job. Just kidding.
No, I bought my house at a really not so prime time, so I have to make.
You got
to
keep working. Yeah.
Real money.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, not on a closed day for the week.
I wish I could be a bartender. That'd be fun. Maybe one day I'll convince y'all to open a bar with me.
I mean, start bartending, not open one yet.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's steps to this.
I don't know. So. My last question really for you guys is, what does success look like for you personally and then for your bars, or your businesses?
You asked me this last time.
Do you want me to go first?
Go for it. because I'm going to bounce off yours.
I think personally what success looks like is raising my kids well and making sure they're taken care of and have what they need. And also it's important to me that they – Reagan was – my son was – where was he recently? He was somewhere, like getting a haircut or something. No. He went to get a massage because he's an athlete, and he was like, he really hurt himself one night at a football game. And so I sent him to get some body work done, and the therapist, I know her. And so they were kind of chatting. She was chatting to Reagan about football and about life and me, because she knows me. And Reagan was like, you know, it's just been really cool to see my mom open businesses and see how she's done that and been not scared to do that. He said, it's been really fun to watch her. And that to me is so rewarding for your kids to see and be proud of what you're doing. I mean, I'm proud of my kids like infinitely, but for your kids to also be proud of you is a big deal. So that's success to me. And also that everybody who works with me in my businesses, that they feel taken care of. Mm-hmm. That's success to me. And then professionally, I want my businesses to be profitable and for people to enjoy them when they come as patrons.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear a lot of business owners in town that say the biggest struggle is hiring. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel like we've had that struggle. Mm-mm. And that's not a bragging point. That's just something where
it is for me. Yeah. I'll brag about that all day.
Right. Just kidding. That's a bragging point. But no, I mean, I think that's one thing that Abby and I do share is that we take very seriously the people we hire. And yep. They're not just workers with a number. You know what I mean? They're people that we want to see excel and go far in life. And, you know, if that's farther than us, that's farther than us. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Let it be. But yeah, success to me as well is, I told you I was going to bounce off hers, but it's true anyway, is, you know, for me, I read something recently about, you know, the older you get, the more you realize the true value is having time and freedom to write your own schedule, to do the things you want to do. Mm-hmm. and that, I just, that becomes increasingly true in my life. You know, I think right now I'm at the pinnacle of no time, because it's all given to working towards a future, you know, where time can be had. And I don't know that I do that perfectly now, but that's the goal, is that in the future, you know, I'm not going to be taking pictures when I'm 80 years old.
Right.
If I am, it may be, you know, in a dark room or something, but you know, being able to diversify and have other things out there that can, you know, provide for my family and allow me to have the time and the vacations and things that my wife and I want to have, and my daughter go to the school she wants and do the things that she wants to do and dream and have something to pass down to her, you know, a legacy. So.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why it was so cool for me to be able to travel last year with my kids, because I'd never taken them out of the country. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I can now. I can create my own schedule, even though there's a million things to do. I'm the boss. And so I can just do what I need to do. And so I just made the decision. I just bought the plane tickets one day. And I said, I'm just going to go do this, because I have 1 year left with my son. Mm-hmm. I have 3 years left with my daughter, and then that's it. So being able, I mean, if I was still working in a grocery store, I never would have been able to take off for 10 days, 3 times last year.
Right, yeah.
So that was such a blessing to me to have created a life that I could do that for my kids, and to take another trip with my husband and some friends, and, you know, to be able to do that and provide that for them. And that would have not been a reality 4 years ago. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
When she said I'm the boss there, I felt like she held back. She wanted to say I'm the MF and Sarah holding that back.
I just felt her being like Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I'm the boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I
got chills. Yes, ma'am, you are.
Oh, I love that.
But also, like, in being in that position as the boss, I can create that freedom for the people who work with us too. And so if anybody on my staff has ever come and said, hey, I'd like to take a week off, I don't remember ever saying no. Yes, go do that. I want you to go do that. I want you to take the trip. I want you to be with your family. We'll handle it. So, I mean, I give them paid vacation, but they're free to take as much time off as they can and want to.
Yeah.
as long as we can still keep our doors open. But yeah, I mean, right. We've just never said no, even with the bar staff too. I mean, they take trips all the time. They look for ways to find space in their life and do things that are both educational and really fun. And mm-hmm. we've just always said yes to that. We yeah. want them to do that. And so that also, as the boss, I love being able to do that for my people.
Because they, I mean, and they just seeing how much they enjoy the place they work too is
right.
makes you want to do that. You know, like y'all had Danny on here
yes.
not long ago. And I listened to that podcast and I was so proud when he said, you said what's success or what's your goal or whatever, the IBIS. And he said, I want it to have, you know, I want to get a James Beard Award. Yeah. I was like, oh, hell yeah, Danny. I was like, you know what I mean? That makes me so proud right. when you have employees that are just eager to take something to a place that, you know, where everyone wins. Yeah. You know, in the end. And that is our goal. That's what we want. So.
And that says a lot that he was comfortable enough and can see the vision that that is something realistic that he can work towards mm-hmm. with you all. Because there's a lot of people in a lot of different positions now that they may want to do something big in their life like that and under the view of someone else, but they just don't have the freedom or the capacity to do it. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot to you guys too. Like I said, it should be something you're proud of that. Yeah. They do have that type of ability that to go after and chase those dreams.
Run with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll sit back and cheer you on.
Right.
I was like, I always see, I feel like you guys have grown and you pick, so you're picking the right staff that's themselves great for you, but also growing themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to plug Pie Slayer had some.
Mm, oh my gosh. I'm so proud of them. Oh,
I was really confused. I'm like, cause in normal corporate world, like you see somebody who's opening their own business that works for somebody else, you're like, you know, someone's going to be mad about this. But I feel like you definitely shout them out, you support them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really good. And that's how you know you're a good boss. Like you want your people to grow.
Oh, for sure. I don't want to hold tightly to anybody and anything. Like it's, I don't own you. I don't own your dreams and yeah. your time. So and I remember being that person. I remember being mm-hmm. the employee at the somebody else's business and, you know, having people who encouraged you to step out. I mean, my employers didn't, that they mm-hmm. didn't do that for me. And it would have been nice if they did, but they didn't. I had to have the courage on my own to do that. And it was really hard. And if I can be a support system to somebody who works for me now, I would love to keep everybody like in my little nest, right. you know? You find all these great talented people and it would, you know, it's awesome to keep them around, but you know, especially with creatives, which all of our people are, you keep them corralled. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is not a good idea. You know, yeah. you've got to be a supporter of them. And I know that I craved, you know, wisdom from other people. I craved advice from people who had gone before me and knew more than I did. And if I can do that for somebody else, like that's huge. That's a huge, like happy place for me.
Yeah. And Matt, I asked you this question last time too. So if you want to either change or throw something different or add to it, you can.
I guess what it is.
But definitely, yes.
What would your younger self say to your older self?
Or would your older self say to your younger self?
Oh, just kidding.
That's yeah. close. You're close though. So if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I don't know. I mean, I think my younger self did pretty well, but it did take me until I was in my 40s to find my gumption, I guess. I've always been a strong person, but I never did really find my voice mm-hmm. until I was in my 40s. And I was just like, you know what? Screw everybody else and what they think I should be doing. I'm just going to do what I want to do. That can get you in trouble sometimes, and it did sure. a little bit for a while. I had to discover myself again in my 40s. So I think that would be it. Just don't be afraid to find your voice and do what you want to do instead of what other people tell you you should do.
What was the tipping point for you where you're like, you know what, this is what needs to change to find my own voice?
I don't know.
Were you singing?
I'm trying to think now. I don't know. I mean, I around the time my career started to shift and like my ability to make some changes started to shift was about the same time I got divorced. And I would never say that my first marriage had anything to do with me not doing. It was not that at all. It's just, I don't know. I just had a midlife break in cycles, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like a natural breaking point in my life where I had to make some changes. I was on my own for the first time in my whole life. I had never not lived with somebody else, mm-hmm. never not depended on somebody else. So I found myself like as a single mom having to make some hard decisions and having to make it on my own. So it was kind of a forced find yourself real fast. Yeah. I did. And it looked very different than what I had been doing the first 40 years of my life. So,
yeah, we were talking about on our last episode too, that one of the underlying themes that most people bring to the podcast when we talk about their stories and really getting into it is there was some type of adversity, no matter how big or small, mm-hmm. that was like a changing point for someone, for them to break out what they were doing into the big things that they're doing now. So mm-hmm. it sounds very similar.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you like to add on to your previous one or
what else would you tell yourself?
I would say take more chances, take more risk.
Yeah.
That's a learning process for me. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's a big thing that Abby has kind of pushed me out of, whether intentionally or not, is right. into a place of not just staying in the same thing or keeping it safe and saying, you know, I'm just going to sit here and just earn as much money as I can and hope for the best. And, yep. you know, as I get old, it's, you know, invest in things that have longevity to them.
Right.
Don't be afraid to do that. You know, and I think more and more, this is not an invitation to start more bars, but more and more, it is a sense of, you know what, I get one chance
right
on this rock. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
One chance. Yeah. And when it's all said and done, I'd rather die knowing that I took chances, right. you know what I mean? And failed than didn't at all. I know that sounds gimmicky or whatever, but yeah, I think,
true though.
You know, that's it. I would tell myself to not wait till I was 40 to take those chances.
Yeah. So. Building things can be so enjoyable. You know, it's stressful, but it's mm-hmm. also a lot of fun. So we're spending these years of our life doing something that we're really having a lot of fun doing. So yeah, hopefully in another couple of years, we'll have fun and also make some money.
But. Right.
Oh, yeah. One day we'll make money.
Instead of spending it. That's the other reason why I need to not open another bar, because I need to make money instead of spend money.
There you go. We're excited about the money changing directions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
At least for a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you want to do shout outs? Where can people follow you guys on social media if you want to do your personal or the bars?
So it's Salt and Charm on Instagram for my food business. Starling Bar for the Starling.
The Starling Bar.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And the Ibis Bar.
Yeah, sorry.
So wait, there's another one?
What's that?
Without the at the front of it?
No, I just misspoke.
Actually, I think there is another one.
Oh.
It's this little Starling with the top hat or something.
Oh, yeah.
We get tagged in it a lot.
So. Oh, that's funny.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
If it's a good vibe on the tag, I'll leave it.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I totally would. I love that. I'm excited for
you
guys.
We get tagged a lot for the Cargo District with the studios.
Yeah.
So. We do.
Yeah.
I forget about that. I look at my phone, I'm like, what was I tagged in?
This? Oh.
And then Matt Ray Photography is the other one. Yeah. Throwing that in. But.
I love all your stuff.
Thank you.
It always makes me hungry when you do food photos.
Mm-hmm. I saw you just did some photography for Heal Me Crazy, which is right next to my office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was excited to see that too. We were actually talking before you were on marketing ideas and stuff. We were brainstorming and she was like, you know who I was really thinking about? Who takes really good food pictures? She was like, Matt Ray. And I was like, all right, just do it. Like text him right now. Get it done. Do it. I was like, that's going to be your best ROI right there. Oh, she's awesome. Like, all right.
So you're my referral there.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. No problem.
I mean, do we get a bonus?
Absolutely. When we're done here, I'm going to give you guys a pat on the back.
Oh, thank you. That's all I ever wanted.
You'll never forget it. It's amazing.
I like how Chris takes the referral for me.
He
does. Oh, yeah, you gave the referral, but what do I get?
Well, I forgot to tell you, that's what this bourbon was for, guys.
Right.
Well, I always laugh because I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, so are you sponsored by the Starling? You're there all the time. And I'm like... No, I just like alcohol.
Well, we're glad we're your hangout.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I convinced my whole neighborhood that they should leave Castle Hayne and drive down here.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
It's not as bad of a drive as people think it is.
No,
it's not. Unless super the easy. Trains are going.
Oh, true. Gosh, the trains.
I mean, if you guys ever need, you know, somebody, to sponsor. I'm the guy.
That's the third time he's mentioned it.
I think this is something he wants.
I'm just kidding.
He just really wants free liquor. Is really what
I'm kidding, unless you're going to do it.
Yes.
Hey, he's not even asking for money. He just wants whiskey.
We're not ruling it out, Chris. What's the answer I give to everyone? We're not saying
we,
no.
We never say no. I mean, this episode technically was sponsored by the Seagrams from 1954, Crown Royal.
Oh, you got the empty bottle last night. That's right. I forgot that.
That's why I was excited for you guys to show up, because I'm like, oh.
And that bottle's been in the bar since we opened, and it finally ended.
I was tempted. I was like, could I hold out until the 2-year anniversary? And there wasn't enough in there for me. Mm-hmm.
Wait, did you buy the last pour?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. I thought they just gave you the bottle. I didn't know.
No. I would never be that person. I'm like, I have to buy the.
I have to at least try
if I can. It.
Have you tried to lick it out, whatever's left in there?
No.
That's super weird.
Like this is the after.
This is the bonus content. Yeah, this is the bonus content.
So describe how you've tried to lick it. I was kidding.
Doesn't have to be behind a paywall.
That means, good God, I have to
I'm
go.
Leaving now. I'm out.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. It's been an amazing episode talking to you guys. If you could, like, comment, share, subscribe, follow all their social medias. Check us out on YouTube, where we are, or you can catch me at the bar. I'm always down for a gift card to the Starling or the Ibis.
Or a sponsorship.
Well, no, I didn't realize you could buy gift cards. Like, I actually, like, it's Christmas time coming up. You can buy me a gift card. I'll take it and put it in my wallet, along with the one that I've been adding to every other week. So, yeah. I legit do that because, like, they have exclusive bottles that are, like, I can't find anywhere else. I might as well save up so I can buy one.
Or every drink. Week you should just add $5 to a gift card.
Oh, I do it every other week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm up to $80.
And when something special comes out.
That's like that's your Starling Bar savings account?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love it. Starling Bar savings account. We're going to promote this idea.
Right. You should. I mean, the Macallan rare cask, I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could stomach just like swiping my card one time. But, you know.
Did you catch that one on Break Even Wednesday?
And my wife fell in love. And my wallet does not like me trying to find that bottle.
Yeah. So back to the whole Starbucks thing, though. So that card where you put your money on the Starbucks card and it holds there. So when you put your money on that, they actually take that and put it into a bank account where they're making interest on it.
Oh, my God.
So it's one of the best gimmicks ever. So if you ever wanted to start doing a savings account like Chris is doing there, he gives you money for free and you earn a bunch of interest.
I'd like to know how much they make in interest just off of gift card.
Oh,
it's hundreds of millions. Well, it's of not dollars. Even
like it's like their app.
Their app. Like
you load your app with
right,
money.
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I wonder how much that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's where they get all their money. Not from Brilliant. Selling coffee. It's from people putting
that's
money on the
why
cards.
I've never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. If you look on their 10K, I'm a financial advisor, so I have to look at these 10Ks and stuff. So when you look at 10Ks, it says like interest where their money comes in. It's a huge number.
I bet.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Financial advisor. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We so if talk. You need somebody.
Yeah. Let me know.
We'll give you a start on gift cards.
Sounds good. I'll take it.
Oh, thank you guys so much. And we'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks.